السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا مولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. قد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا وقد خلقكم أطوارا. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم إن ربك واسع المغفرة. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من لزم الاستغفار جعل الله له من كل ضيق مخرجا ومن كل هم فرجا ورزقه من حيث لا يحتسب، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers, elders, and my young friends. Alhamdulillah, it's the blessed day of Eid. And the blessed day of Eid is a moment of joy, a moment of happiness, a time of celebration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to rejoice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to express merriment and happiness and joy at the conclusion of the blessed month of Ramadan. But at the same time, a person should be sad as well, that the month of Ramadan has left us and we have no idea whether that month was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or whether it was rejected by Allah from us. And that's why the great Imam Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that the pious predecessors, they would spend 6 months preparing for Ramadan. They would spend 6 months preparing for Ramadan. And after Ramadan, they would spend 6 months asking Allah to forgive them for the shortcomings of Ramadan and fearing and worrying that what if Allah Ta'ala did not accept my Ramadan from me. So 6 months would be spent in preparation, and the 6 months after Ramadan would be spent in worry and concern that what if Allah Ta'ala did not accept it. Such a blessed month just went past, and unfortunately I don't feel that I did well enough or good enough. So this is very, very important, this feeling of grief, sadness, worry, concern. It helps a person keep in line and it helps a person stay focused. Because otherwise what happens is we get distracted very, very easy. We get distracted very, very easy. We forget that a time, a day will come where we must die. We must meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must leave this dunya. So we live in the dunya like they say, you only live once. So this is the mentality that many people have in the dunya. That, you know what, I'm here, I'll do whatever I want to do. And maybe when I'm old, and maybe when I can't walk anymore, and maybe when I'm disabled, or maybe when I'm, you know, 1 foot in the grave, then I'll sort myself out. Month of Ramadan comes, people are still not reading their salah. And we think that it's okay. You know, Allah is so kind and merciful. As long as you fast, you don't need to read your salah. You don't need to do anything else. And now month of Ramadan has finished. Brothers, these ringtones with music, come on, we need to change them. All these brothers with ringtones playing with music, we need to change them, please. Put a ringtone on which doesn't have Bollywood and Hollywood, and you're coming to the masjid and this music is playing. Really, it's very sad. You know, I'm talking about preparation for death. These simple things, we need to change them. We need to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are sincere and we are serious, and oh Allah, we want to please you. Not that, oh Allah, every chance we get, we're going to disobey you. Every chance we get, we're going to disobey you, but you still better forgive us. You know, this is what the mentality that the Christians have. This is the mentality of the Christians. They feel that Jesus came to earth and Jesus died for our sins. Hence, we can do whatever we want to do. So, as a Muslim, we believe that every single person is responsible for their own actions. وَلَا تَزِرُوا وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Nobody will carry the burden of anybody else. So, you know, we need to take every second seriously, every moment seriously. So this month of Ramadan has gone past, we need to ask ourselves now, let's continue the momentum. Our five times salah, we need to have them on point, reading the five times salah in the masjid with jama'ah. We need to recite the Qur'an. We need to do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to stay in the company of good people and avoid the company of the bad people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that الْوَحْدَةُ خَيْرٌ مِّن جَلِيسِ السُّوءِ وَالْجَلِيسُ الصَّالِحُ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْوَحْدَةِ. For a person to be alone, it is better than to be with bad friends. And to be with good friends is better than being alone. So we need to adopt the company of good people, pious people. Many a youngster we speak to, and they fall into bad habits and addictions and problems and swearing and listening to music and smoking. And he says, my friends, it's peer pressure. And we know peer pressure is a real thing. So we need to adopt the company of good people, pious people. And it's not just for children. You know, subhanAllah, we say these things. And people say, oh, hamare bache, hamare bache. Our children are doing this and our children are doing that. But the problem is also with the adults. What happens when you stay in the company as an adult of your friends and of many family members? We start talking bad about people. We start doing ghibat. Our conversations, that's why I prefer being alone. Because as soon as you can even go to your parents, you can even go sit with your siblings, straight away, oh, did you see this guy, that person, he's so like this and she's so like this and he's always doing this and she's always doing this. Anyone you stay with, there's a danger that your ears are going to be filled with the ghibah and backbiting about another person. So safety is in solitude. And if a person wants to stay with someone, stay with good people, pious people. Someone that if you say something bad, straight away they'll say, brother, don't say that. Don't say that, we shouldn't say that. Don't sit with someone who when you say, oh yeah, have you heard about that guy? Have you seen this guy's like this? They'll say, oh yeah, you know what, I'll tell you something else about him. And I'll tell you something else that you didn't know. And egging a person on. Right? Don't stay with these kind of people. These people will destroy us in the dunya. They will destroy us. And in the hereafter, like Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. That on the day of Qiyamah, those who were best friends in the dunya, they will be enemies to one another. Enemies to one another. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Except for those who had taqwa, except for the pious people. The pious people in the dunya, even if they had friendship, their friendship was on the basis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if their friend did something wrong and against the commands of Allah, they would correct them straight away. You can't do that. Don't do that. Don't say that. Why are you doing that? Don't you know that's haram? Why did you not come for salah in the masjid? Don't you know the importance of salah in the masjid? That's what a good friend would do. And a bad friend would say, why do you need to go to the masjid? It's really at home. So what, man, stop being so pious. You know, it's okay. I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm only saying something which is true. It's true, the guy's like this. It's true, she's like that. This is what a bad friend would do. Would egg us on, would encourage us to do wrong things. Talk bad and spoil and waste our good deeds. So my dear respected brothers and elders, it's very, very important that we take these things seriously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very, very short life. And at the end of this life, there is going to be something called death. And death is very real and death is very serious. And as soon as a person dies, we have one realm which is known as Alamul Barzakh. There's three, you can say there's four realms that Allah Ta'ala has created, four dimensions. The first realm is known as Alamul Arwah, the world of souls. Every single human being went through this realm and this dimension of the world of souls. And then from the world of souls, everybody has to come into this realm which we know as Alamud Dunya. The realm of the dunya, the dimension of the dunya. And from here, everybody's journey will continue into Alamul Barzakh. And Barzakh is the stage between the afterlife, meaning between the day of judgment and between this dunya. It's a realm, a bridge known as Barzakh. And Barzakh is generally where most people will spend their time in their graves. Some people will not be buried in a physical grave. Maybe a person dies out at sea and their body is tossed overboard. Maybe you have a non-Muslim who says to his family members, when I die, I don't want to be buried, I want to be cremated. So he's cremated and his ashes are scattered wherever he wants them to be scattered. So it's possible that everybody doesn't have a physical grave as in a hole in the ground. But everybody has to go through Barzakh. You can't escape it. And barzakh is very serious. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he would stand in front of the grave, he would cry. He'd cry so much that his beard would become wet with his tears. Someone said, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, when we talk about Jahannam and we talk about the afterlife, you don't cry so much, but when you come in front of the grave, you weep so much." He said, "Al-qabru awwalu manzilin min manazilil akhirah." That the grave is the first stage of the stages of the hereafter. Whoever is safe here, he will be safe in the rest of the stages. And whoever fails here and is gripped here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment, then they will be in danger in all the other stages. And it's so easy to fall into the punishment of the grave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking past two graves, and he said, the two inhabitants of these two graves are being punished by Allah. It's very important. He said both of them are being punished. إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. And then he said, they're not being punished for something which is very big. Meaning it's not something which you people think is very big. He said, the first one, فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَنْزِهُ عَنِ الْبَوْلِ. The first person in the first grave, the first inhabitant, he wasn't careful when it came to passing drops of urine. When he came to going to the toilet, passing drops of urine, he was careless. And drops of urine would go on his clothes. And we need to ask ourselves, I always tell our brothers, we have to be very careful. When we go to the bathroom, when we pass urine, make sure that all the drops of urine are passed before we get on with our day. Otherwise what happens is people just, there's still drops of urine falling in the trousers, falling in the pants. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to. The first person was not careful when passing drops of urine. And the second one, وَأَمَّا هَذَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. What the second person used to do was what we call in Urdu, chughal khori. Something like this, anyway. What that is when you go to a person and you take some information from here, and you go over there, and then you pass it over there, and you take something from there, and you bring it back here. So you know, I know two people don't get on, and I'm friends with both. So I go to this person, hear something. I go to the other guy, do you know what the other guy said? Yeah, he was saying this about you. And go from here and take information there. Very bad habit. You know, just trying to create problems. This is what we call chughal khori and namima in Arabic. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned these two people are being punished for these two things. And similarly, someone who backbites. Backbiting is one of the worst things that a person can do. Someone came to Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi and said, "Oh Hassan, someone has been talking bad about you." Sayyidina Hassan Basri, straight away he was wearing a garment, he took it off and he said, "Go and give it to him as a gift." Hassan was shocked. And he said, "I just told him he's talking bad about you and you're giving him a gift." He said, Hassan rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Go and tell him if I had something more expensive, I would have given him that as well. Because the gift that he has given me is far greater than the gift I'm giving him." Meaning he is giving me his good deeds. Let him take all of my possessions in this world. I don't care, because when I die in the akhirah, in the hereafter, the more he spoke bad about me, the more good deeds he's going to have to give me. And on the day of judgment, the dealing, the currency is going to be deeds. In this dunya, you know, we have currencies, pounds and rupees and mashallah, bitcoin. We will dealing bitcoin and all the other forms of currency. In the akhirah, the currency is a'mal, deeds, nothing else. That's why Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Abbas, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. On the day of Qiyamah, a person will be running away from his brothers. A person will run away from his father. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. He will run away from his mother. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. He will run away from his wife, he'll run away from his children. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is portraying an example. The people who were the most beloved to us in this dunya, in this world, we're going to be running miles away from them. Why? Because they're going to come to us and they're going to say, "My son, better, you know, in the dunya, you're so beloved to me. And you're my beloved son and I loved you so much and you loved me so much. Please just give me a few deeds. Just give me a few of them. You don't need to give me many. Just give me a few good deeds. Because I don't know how many good deeds I will need." And remember, this will happen before the hisab. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the reckoning. Everybody will know hisab is coming. Hisab, accountability, reckoning is coming. And in reckoning, Allah is only going to look at my deeds. In this dunya, Allah doesn't care about the way you look. My brothers, mashallah, with our nice hairstyles and with our nice clothes. and with our nice attire. MashaAllah, I don't want to put you off your hairstyles, MashaAllah. You put a lot of thought and time into it, and waiting in long queues in the barber shop. But on the day Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa la ila amwalikum walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your features and your appearance. Allah doesn't care about the way you look. Allah created you. Allah created you in your form, whatever form you have. If you are dark, Allah created you dark. If you are white, Allah created you white. If you are orange, Allah created you orange. You're green, Allah created you green. Whichever color a person is, Allah created them that color. They can't change anything. And as much as they change it in this dunya, and as much as a person gets surgery done and blows up this side of their face and blows up their lips and mashallah blows up any other part of their body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ. That when you die, كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ. The way we created you in the beginning, that's what we will bring you back to. Meaning you will return to that. And that's why the scholars say, even, you know, simple things. A person gets some part of their body adjusted or tweaked or something. First of all, many of these things are not permissible. But let's say a person does. When they die and they stand up on the day of Qiyamah, everything will go back to its original form. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't care about the way we look. وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. Allah doesn't care about your money. Wealth, money is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to ensure that we have halal money. It's very important. Month of Ramadan goes, and we just wonder, you know, iftar times, where is people's food coming from? The money that we're, mashallah, brothers want to give iftar to the masjid, brothers want to feed people iftar. But we need to ask ourselves, where is my money coming from? What is the source of my money? Just to make a bit more money on the side, I'm going to do something which is doubtful. Just to make a bit more money on the side, I'm going to do something which is going to bring Allah's anger. People have businesses, and we always have to advise our dear brothers, that, you know, whenever you start a business, whenever you're going to apply for a job, always consult with a scholar. Is there something permissible? Can I do this job? Is there anything wrong with it? Especially if you feel like any, you know, red flags. Because what it is a person, whoever has a decent moral compass, whoever has iman and belief in Allah Ta'ala, something will feel a bit off. Something feels a bit off about this job. So we go and ask a scholar, is this something I can do? Is this something? Is this a place where I can work? It's very, very important. And then the scholar will say, you know what? Yes, maybe this is fine. And you say, oh, you know, I'm not sure. Why don't you give me a bit more details about the way the money is earned? It's very important. Halal income. And just for a bit more money on the side, please, my dear brothers, don't lie. Don't deceive. Don't cheat. Don't fall into haram income. Haram income is damaging, destroying. You know, in Taraweeh, we were doing the dua every day, and then I was thinking to myself, people, millions, billions of Muslims now in the world. The Muslims now are larger than they have ever been. Subhanallah. And this was predicted by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a time will come when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a time will come when people will call to you kama tada'al akilatu ila qas'atiha. He gave an example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, you know, when you have a dastarkhan, let's give an example that we understand, mashallah. You have a big dastarkhan, a big banquet, okay? And it's filled with all of the nice dishes from all over the world, mashallah. There's Malaysian dishes and Chinese dishes and Indian dishes and English dishes and food for everyone, all kinds of delicious food. So the same way, and someone says, everyone come. Nobody's left out, everybody come and eat. And now the person who likes fish and chips, there's something for him there. Person who likes, I don't know, Malaysian noodles, that's for him there. Person who likes something else, paratha's there. All of the different people with their different foods, it's available, so everybody comes to eat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an example like this about the Muslims. That a time will come when people will be called towards the Muslims, the same way someone is called towards the dastarkhan. Everyone come and attack them. Everyone come and say something about them. Everyone come and pick on them. And this example was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Sahaba were really curious and really surprised, because in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims were so strong. They were so few in number, but they were so strong, everyone was terrified of them. The non-Muslims came in the Battle of Badr thinking, we're going to finish these Muslims, annihilate them, destroy them. Muslims are only 300 in number, we're 1,000 in number, they're finished today. After today, nobody's going to speak about the Muslims. They came and they lost. And after the non-Muslims lost, everybody realized that the Muslims are a force to be reckoned with. Everybody was scared of them. So the biggest army they brought against the Muslims in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the Battle of Ahzab. In the Battle of Ahzab, 12,000 non-Muslim soldiers came. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only had 2,000 soldiers with him. Allah Ta'ala once again gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam victory. So people then, it just became accepted that you can't mess with the Muslims. Even if they are many times weaker in number, they are still strong. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, why will people pick on us, and why will people come and say things to us and harm us? Is it because لِقِلَّةِ عَدَدِنَا الْيَوْمِ Is it because we're going to be very few in number on that day? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, No. لَكِنَّكُمْ كَثِيرٌ You're going to be many in number. There will be so many Muslims. If the Sahaba heard that there were 1.2 or 3 billion Muslims, they would be blown away. Because there was 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 of them. In maximum the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the final Hajj, according to some narrations, there were 100,000. Right? But this billion number, this would have blown them away. So Rasulullah...
No, it's done. First, we need to make a stand up.
Okay.
I think that's fine because this is very busy. Second, this brother here, this is election, so you're going to just give him 2 minutes to.
Election.
To give an election.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, No, you will be many. لَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ However, you will be like the foam on top of the waves. You know when you go to Blackpool or you go to anywhere else and you have the waves and on top of the waves you have this foam. That's totally like irrelevant. Nobody cares about it. It's just some foam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will be like that. Meaning you will be so inconsiderate, people won't even care about you. And that's because of the weakness of your iman. So my dear brothers and respected elders and my dear beloved youngsters, halal money I was talking about. We need to, you know, people sell on all these selling websites, and people are selling things. And when they sell something, they say, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. I've only worn this jacket once, whereas the person's probably worn the jacket for the last 6 months. I've only worn this jacket once, and that's why it's this much. And now you sell something like this with a bit of fraudulence and deceiving and cheating. Every penny we make from such a sale is haram. Every penny. Brothers are working in restaurants selling alcohol. These very, very dangerous things. My brothers, please, we need to take this seriously. Don't think that life is just, oh, it doesn't matter. Wherever you make money from, as long as jeb ke andar paise hai, bas theek hai. No, we need to ask ourselves, where is the money coming from? The money has to come from halal income. Because if the money does not come from halal income, then it will affect everything to do with me. My actions will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My du'as will not be accepted by Allah. I'm crying, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. Main parishaniyon se guzar raha hoon, musibaton se guzar raha hoon. Ya Allah, ye ho raha hai, wo ho raha hai. Lekin Allah ta'ala du'ae qabul nahi kar rahe. Why? Because your money is haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example. My brothers, I'm going to finish. I don't want to bore you with my talk on Eid day, inshallah. But mashallah, I've got you all here, so we'll mention a few points. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there's a person, and he's in the middle of the desert, and he's lost his camel, and his hair is messy. أَغْبَرَ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ And he just looks a total state, and he's traveling. Meaning he's in a state where anybody would have mercy upon him, anybody would feel sorry for him. And he cries out, he lifts his hands up and he says, Ya Rabbi, oh my Allah, oh my Allah. وَمَطْعَمُهُ haram, his food is haram. وَمَشْرَبُهُ haram, his drink is haram. وَمَلْبَسُهُ haram, the clothes that he is wearing is haram. How can your clothes be haram? You bought them with haram money. وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ He has been totally brought up on haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, How can this person's dua be accepted? So, many more things can be said, and maybe I'll say a few more points, but just inshallah, I know it mentioned on the poster on the time 9:30, but because there was a bit of a confusion with certain announcements being made about 9:45, so inshallah 9:45 sharp we will do the Eid Salah. So in the meantime, if the brothers can just, if there's any gaps in front of you, can you just come forward, because we've got people at the back inch. You can just move forward please, so you fill up the gaps. Otherwise what happens is when the brothers stand up for namaz, that's when all these gaps appear. So if you see any gaps in front of us, please just come forward, inshallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Dear brothers, please, and those who are leaning against the wall, please, if you can. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Inshallah, on the day of Eid, we should be reading in abundance this Takbir al-Tashriq. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. We should read it on the day of Eid al-Fitr. It mentions the sunnah is to read it quietly, and on the day of Eid al-Adha, we read it audibly, loudly. We should read this excessively. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. So brothers, I was mentioning about this haram and halal income. It's very important. People doing du'as, and then our du'as are not accepted, and we wonder why. Most people, unfortunately, we're falling into things which are questionable. Certain currencies, people come dealing with forex trading, Bitcoin, many other forms of cryptocurrency and different things. We need to always ask scholars. Don't just say, oh, I'm making quick money here, so let's just do it. Remember, if you're making quick money somewhere, it's questionable. How are you making quick money? And before we had all these pyramid schemes and all these other things which are there, it has to be a halal business. A halal business, whatever money you make from a halal business, Allah Ta'ala puts barakah in it. And this is something Muslims nowadays are becoming totally heedless about. Barakah. What does barakah mean? When we say barakat, what does barakat mean? It means increase, izafa. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you halal money, Allah puts barakah in it, it increases. And if it's haram money, then the barakah is taken away, meaning it decreases, it becomes less, it finishes really quickly. You're like, I'm making lots of money from here, from this place and that place, but it's all going so quickly, I need to make more, I need to make more, I need to make more. And the person who is making halal money, it lasts, it stays, and it's fruitful, and they see benefit, they see they're investing halal money, and the, mashallah, they're just successful. Everything that they're touching is, mashallah, you know, they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and assistance. Their children are growing up pious and good. Their children are growing up pious and good because you're feeding them halal money. You're buying them things with halal money. And otherwise, if someone is using doubtful money, haram money, remember, there's halal, there's haram, and in between there's something which we call doubtful, mushtabih. Something which is doubtful as well, we should totally avoid, because something which is doubtful could possibly be haram. So it's very, very, very important that we have halal rizq, halal money, halal income. When we're selling something, sell it. You know, mashallah, there's a video circulating, the Ilm Feed brothers. It's a person in Bangladesh, he was a tradesman. He had a small stall and he was selling things from behind a small stall. And when he was selling that his items, and he was weighing. So you know when they weigh something, so he was weighing it in a packet. So then he was deducting the measurement of the packet. He was saying, look, you're only buying the item from me, but because when I weighed it in the packet, so I've deducted a few, whatever it was, the Bangladeshi currency, takas. I've deducted a few takas because of the packet. So every person that he pays, so imagine you go and buy some wheat or buy some dates or buy something, then he will weigh it in a packet and then he will minus however much the packet weighed and then he would give it. Making sure that he is not taking a single penny from the person more than they more than they should be charged. So someone asked him, do you do this with every single customer? It's a bit of a headache that you're weighing and then deducting the weight of the packet. He said, I do it with every single customer. Because on the day of Qiyamah, I'm going to have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions in the entire surah, in the third juz of the Qur'an, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Destruction be upon those who, when it comes to buying and selling, they don't weigh and they don't measure with justice. They don't care about it. It's okay. I just charged a few pennies extra. It doesn't matter. I just charged a few quid extra. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You just take a few extra quid off him. It doesn't matter. But it does matter, because these few extra pennies could be the means of our destruction in the hereafter. So it's very, very important. MashaAllah, it's the day of Eid, but the day of Eid is a day of reflection. I'm going to mention this. Last point, my brothers. Day of Eid is a day of reflection. Imam Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, لَيْسَ الْعِيدُ لِمَنْ لَبِسَ الْجَدِيدُ. Eid is not just for the one who wears new clothes and nice clothes. It's Eid day, gotta go get my haircut, gotta go get my nice clothes, gotta go and buy lots of food and make my, mashallah, Eid day food. That's not, doesn't mean that this person deserves Eid. Rather, the one who deserves Eid is the one who appreciated every second of the month of Ramadan. And if you didn't do that, then at the end of Eid, it's a kind of like a very ironic thing. It's like a foolish thing. You wasted the whole of Ramadan, and now what are you celebrating? There's got to be something worth celebrating. It's like when people celebrate birthdays. I'm 30 years old. Yes, let's have a birthday bash. You're having a birthday bash, but do you deserve to have a birthday bash? You're 30 years old, last year the way that you were, you're worse off this year. Last year you didn't used to read any of your namazes, this year you're not reading any namazes. Last year you had certain haram income, this year you have even more haram income. Person needs to consider, every year of my life I'm getting closer to death, because if I'm supposed to die at 60, I'm 30 now, I'm halfway there. But a person thinks, oh, I'm 30 now, I'm so big, I'm so strong. You're 30, you're 1 year closer to your death. You're 40, you're 1 year closer to your death. The angels are ready to receive you. Your grave, our grave which is marked for us, is already ready to receive us. So it's very, very important that we think like this. I don't want to put people off and be negative and pessimistic on the day of Eid, but really, Eid is a day of reflection. And I think of it like this, and I encourage my brothers to think of it like this, that Eid is here. Ya Allah, how did I do in Ramadan? I don't know, I did so poorly. Ramadan is a month of forgiveness. Was I forgiven by you, O Allah? So many things I did wrong. And we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we make the most of that day, inshaAllah. And inshaAllah, throughout the rest of the year, we have an intention to live our lives in accordance with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when death comes, then we are happy to meet Allah, and Allah is happy to meet us. Allah ta'ala gives all the tawfiq and all the understanding, inshaAllah. MashaAllah, brothers wants to say a few words, inshaAllah.
Assalamu alaikum. Iftihar Ahmed mera naam hai te main local election te Ashton de vich khada hega te meri apni community to request hai ke is dafa mainu support karon taaki apne jo muslim sahel hai ge utte ve awaz council de vich uthai ja sake na. Thank you very much na. Te remember 4th of May Iftihar Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay brother, inshallah the Eid Salah will take place now. So just very briefly, the Eid Salah, we have 6 extra takbirs in Eid Salah. 6 extra takbirs. So the first takbir, the Imam will read it, Allahu Akbar. We will all tie our hands, and then we will read the Thana, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. After we read the Thana, the Imam is going to do 3 more takbirs. After we read the Thana, then he's going to say Allahu Akbar, we're going to drop our hands. Allahu Akbar, we're going to drop our hands, and then Allahu Akbar, and we're going to tie our hands. And then the salah will take place like normal. In the second rakat, just before the ruku, so when we stand up, in the second rakat, first we will recite Surah Al-Fatiha and the Surah, but just before ruku, the Imam is going to read 3 takbirs. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and then he's going to go into ruku. So please don't go into the ruku for the first one. It's going to be Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and we will lift our hands and we will drop them, and then we will go into ruku on the 4th takbir. Is that okay, inshallah? Brother, you can stand up and straight. Sorry? Okay. Hey, brothers, please move forward, inshallah, fill in the gaps. There's still people waiting at the back. And please remember, after the salah there will be the khutbah. It's necessary, the khutbah is sunnah. We must sit in the khutbah, and it's wajib to listen to it. So please sit for the khutbah, and once the khutbah finishes, then the Eid salah is over. Brothers, please keep your mobile phones turned off. And please, if you have ringtones which have, like I said, any music and things like that, please change it. We can have a simple ringtone. We don't need one with, you know, music. Okay, inshallah, we'll start the salah. Please do bear in mind the 6 extra takbirs.
3 in the first rakat and 3 in the last rakat, second rakat. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma anta as-salam, minka as-salam, tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Shall the brothers remain seated for the khutbah? الله أكبر 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 لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. أما بعد فاعلموا أن يومكم هذا يوم عيد لله عليكم فيه عوائد الإحسان ورجاء نيل الدرجات والعفو والغفران. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لكل قوم عيدا وهذا عيدنا. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا كان يوم عيدهم يعني يوم فطرهم باها بهم ملائكته فقال يا ملائكتي ما جزاء أجير وفى عمله؟ قالوا ربنا جزاؤه أن يوفى أجره. قال ملائكتي عبيدي وإمائي قضوا فريضتي عليهم ثم خرجوا يعجون إلى الدعاء وعزتي وجلالي وكرمي وعلوي وارتفاع مكاني لأجيبنهم فيقول ارجعوا قد غفرت لكم وبدلت سيئاتكم حسنات. قال فيرجعون مغفورا لهم. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. وهذا الذي ذكر في ذلك اليوم كان فضله. وأما أحكامه من صدقة الفطر والصلاة والخطبة قد كتبناها في الخطبة التي قبله فنذكرها الآن. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الأول قال عليه الصلاة والسلام من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه ستا من شوال كان كصيام الدهر. الثانية كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكبر بين أضعاف الخطبة يكثر التكبير في خطبة العيدين. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم. استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الله أكبر 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 لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. فأيها الإخوة الأعزاء، أوصيكم ونفسي أولاً بتقوى الله والمواظبة على ذكر الله، ألا خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن خير الأمور عوازمها وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. من أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. قد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأعلمهم بالحلال والحرام معاذ بن جبل، وأقرأهم لكتاب الله أبي بن كعب، ألا وإن لكل أمة أمينا، وأمين هذه الأمة أبو عبيدة بن الجراح. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كنت مولاه فعلي مولاه. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام وأهله في كل مكان يا رب العالمين، اللهم وفق ولاة المسلمين لما تحب وترضى، اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى، واجعلنا من عبادك الراشدين. اللهم لا تقتلنا بغضبك، ولا تهلكنا بعذابك، وعافنا قبل ذلك يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر، ومن عذاب النار، ومن فتنة المحيا والممات، ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. عيد مبارك to everyone. تقبل الله منا ومنكم جميعا.